this is not me.
It's time to lace the skates up. It's time to flood the ice. It's time to talk some hockeyology after dark.
9:45 on Pucknology After Dark. Strong, backhander, puck guy. We are with you for the next hour, and we're coming to you live on YouTube. Holy crap. What a historic night it is in Vancouver as the Sharks win 4-1, but there's more than the game talking about tonight. Just a reminder that Pucknology After Dark is presented by Audible, an Amazon company. We've partnered with them to provide a free 30-day trial. You can search up to 180,000 audiobooks, and you get to keep one for yourself in case, even if you don't like the service or not, jump on to audibletrial.com/PAD to sign up. You get a free book, you help support the show, and unlike the Vancouver Canucks, everybody wins. That's audibletrial.com/PAD. And make sure you subscribe to this channel. We are a live interactive Sharks post-game show after every game. For more Sharks news and opinions, visit pucknology.net. And also make sure you follow us on our social media channels, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, the Pucknology Writers Room channel, and much more. Nonetheless, if you want to be a part of the show, and by all means, with tonight being a special night, you will want to be, connect with us by using the hashtag on Twitter, PucknologyAD. You can also join us in the chat on the YouTube page or the app. With us tonight, the lovely, the talented, the blonde, Rocket Backhander.
Good evening. How are we all doing?
We're doing fan-freaking-tastic. Excellent. And the voice you're about to hear is AJ Strong.
500! I want my 500!
And with that, throw up the graphic. AJ, that's right. In the first period of tonight's game, a power play goal. Yes, a power play goal by the San Jose Sharks. Most importantly, Patrick Marleau scores his 500th goal. And we, on behalf of the entire staff of Pucknology, congratulate Patrick Marleau, 500 goals, all with the San Jose Sharks. An unreal statistic, for sure. In Aneroid, Saskatchewan native, second overall in the 1997 entry draft, and what a special night, guys. AJ, I'll start with you. Good evening, bud.
What the?
We'll talk about the game in a little bit, but I mean, we hit the milestone early, so we might as well talk about it early. Patrick Marleau, 500 goals. Your thoughts?
Saw somebody on Twitter call it. Not only Marleau getting the first goal, but played the Sharks game and said Marleau on the power play. Doesn't get much more specific than that. I mean, long time coming. Jeremy Roenick trolling a little bit on Twitter, offering some congratulations. I thought that was awesome. But, hey, you know, it would have been nice to see him get it versus Chicago. Lord knows Rocket and I wanted to see it. But, you know, it is. To me, this is 501 because we saw 500 versus Chicago. They just took it away from
him. I think it's 500. This actually, for me, is goal number 503 because Marleau's already had 3 goals disallowed this year. So if those goals weren't disallowed, it would have been at 503. Just saying.
Yeah, precisely. It was early in the game with a nice pass from Joe Pavelski, leaving it wide open for Patrick Marleau to make it 1-0 Sharks. And just especially a great, great play. It was a typical Marleau goal. Just a nice little wrister that just beat Ryan Miller. And Patty, way to go, dude. I mean, there's just nothing else you could say about it. That was an amazing goal. Long time coming. His 19th of the year. Just to get things going at 9:30. From Pavelski and Burns, sweet wrist shot. Do you have the other stats up by chance, AJ? Or I can pull them up.
Yeah.
It's two graphics I think I had up for you. Definitely a special moment here. Let's see. AJ's trying to pull it up. There we go. The Road to 500. October 17th, 1997. Yes, 8 years after the Loma Prieta earthquake, Patrick Marleau scored his first goal at Phoenix. And let's look at it this way. This is a very interesting road because there's certain ways to get around it. November 13th, he scores his 100th goal against the Atlanta Thrashers. On November 22nd, 2006, his 200th goal against Los Angeles. On my birthday, well, a little over 7 years ago, he scored his 300th goal against the Ducks. 400th came 4 years later against the Colorado Avalanche. And then almost four years to that, he had his four-goal game. That didn't take too long to get. And then, of course, tonight, 500 goals against the Vancouver Canucks. Yes, that was the only time I was allowed to get say Shorthouse. And let's explain this here. Many of you have asked and anticipate me doing my Vancouver Canuck play-by-play impersonation of John Shorthouse. I made a deal with the crew tonight that if Patrick Marleau did score 500 goals, that I would only be allowed to do the impression once. Hence why the introduction was done by Gen X. So Gen X, thank you very much. I know you're not feeling well, but was gracious enough to do that. All right, moving onward. So you had Patty, and then you had the Cobra, Chris Tierney, with his fifth of the season from Schlemke.
What an easy tap-in that was.
That made it 2-0 and pretty much kind of set the tone for the night, right, AJ?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we're talking, I mean, obviously this is good win. Every win's a good win, but we're talking about taking advantage of a team who, let's be honest, is sucks. I mean, and actually, they've been okay here and there. I mean, they've gotten better as the season's gone on. I think you had mentioned before that somebody was talking about at one point canceling some like April vacation trips, and I'm like, no, you can still take those. You're going to be okay. So, they took care of a team they were supposed to take care of, and they did it well. And they had tons of jump tonight. I was a little worried this was kind of a trap game, so yeah. I was all good from that.
Jessica in the chat saying Sharks have had a hard time winning against teams that suck. So how do you guys feel about their chances this season against garbage teams, which seems to be all that's left of the season?
There's gonna be a couple of good ones. I mean, are we done with that? No, we got two games against Edmonton, so
you still have some against Calgary as well. I think even Curtis had mentioned it before. You have some, I don't want to say easy opponents, but you have Buffalo, Philly's clinging on to the second wild card spot. New Jersey is near the bottom of the East. You have Arizona twice. You got Vancouver one more time. And granted, they're out of the playoffs right now, but Toronto is hanging on to stay in contention right now. So you got a good February coming up for you that you can take advantage of for sure.
I don't know. Just when's the last time you saw Tierney getting two goals? And I loved DeBoer taking that timeout. That was fantastic.
Yeah, he's, you know, he really is aggressive about challenging stuff, and usually he's not right, and there goes our timeout. But he did good tonight. He did really good in calling that. Why do you think it was so much different between what the ref saw and what it actually was? Like, do you think it was because Miller was leaning in toward that he thought that he saw goaltender interference, or just because Joel was in the blue paint automatically in his mind that was interference?
Go ahead, AJ.
I have no idea. I'm still laughing at the fact that Baker kind of made a point just in case it was going to say no goal. I loved how Baker on the broadcast said, well, you know, it's not very often you see Toronto overturn the guys on the call and then booyah, it's a goal. And no, it's like, oh, Wes McCauley didn't get to do his drama.
I know.
Womp womp.
Darn it, Wes. I thought it was a good challenge personally, because I thought Ward's barely doing anything, and it's not like he backed into Miller. In fact, the broadcaster said tonight too, it was more like Miller kind of
leaned into him,
went in towards him a little bit. And to me, that's just, it allow that to be a disallowed goal, then just have Jones kind of like go up to the closest goal to the closest opponent, and then go, oh. Well,
you know, but we're from California, so.
Hey, also first time this season too that the Sharks have had two power play goals in a game, this year.
Two power play goals.
Wow. So, if you want some packing materials, I've got some bubble wrap, AJ, and a really nice hat box that I think your drum will fit in. We'll if you want to, like, you know, put it in there, pack it away.
I mean, she's not wrong. Over the last four games, four power play goals scored. I mean, she's at over 12 chances. 4 out of 12? Yeah. But if you go last five games, then it's 4 out of 16. A little different. But still, it's
small sample size.
Small sample size, but I go by trends, and that's a good trend right now. Well, so I will take it.
From Hockey Jerk, he says it's the first multi-power play goal game for the Sharks since December 16th.
Back when we thought finally the power play unit is lit. We're ready. Okay, we're solid for the season. And nothing.
And that was against Montreal.
Was that the game that wasn't that the game that we chased Carey Price?
Yes, and he gave the death stare to his team. Yep. Yeah.
After being told endlessly that Price is, you know, God.
Right. Earlier in the third period, Bernsey fired one from Hurdle and Thornton. Thornton with that assist gets him to 994. Yep. We end one milestone to jump onto another milestone tracker. Thornton with assist number 994.
Come on, get this one at home. And see, and that's the bad thing. You know that he's going to do that. He's going to hit it this month. And the boys play four of their next five on the road. I mean, come on.
And he is Mr. Pass, 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 pass.
Come on, AJ. Next Thursday in Boston, wouldn't that be a perfect time for him to do it?
that is true. Oh. Yeah. Boy, if they had to put that on the Jumbotron there.
Thornton-tron.
Yes.
I'll let him do it on the road so long as he does it at Boston. I'll do. What is it? TD Center, whatever it's called.
Oh,
TD
Garden.
TD Garden. Yeah.
Hockey Jerk in the chat. How many assists would Jumbo have if passes to empty nets counted as assists?
3,027.
Right.
All of them. The answer is all of them.
Yes. Richard Davalos, who is our favorite Vancouver fan in here.
That's TD Garden.
Oh, jeez. Even Davalos said, you know, that the contact was so minimal. It was like calling it incidental contact would be exaggerating. So, yeah, I totally. Unfortunately, Jones had a phenomenal save. And just like a minute later, the Canucks end the shutout. Philip Larson, his first as a Canuck at 6:35. I thought Jones had a heck of a game, and I thought he was going to actually steal the thunder from Patty with his performance tonight.
Yeah, that one time when Burrow, I don't know how the hell Burrows got so in all alone behind the defense, but Jones showed up big on that one. I mean, give it to him. He had a good game. I think he kind of did deserve a shutout tonight, but the defense, you know, it did feel like they were kind of on a high from Marlowe, so they kind of had couple of brain farts. Too busy celebrating early. It's like, hey, get on the plane, come home, and do your celebrating. That's the thing that makes me a little nervous about Arizona. They like, I could just see them all getting lit on the flight back. It's gonna be a slow practice tomorrow, boys. Yeah. But it is Arizona.
You mean the desert dogs?
Yeah. Okay, hello. Thank you for the excuse.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Randy threw one in there in the third period.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and at the end.
I was like, Randy, thank you for not forgetting us. Thank you so much.
Throwing in a little desert dogs. I like how, but it's like as if the prices in the secondary market for Saturday night weren't high enough already because that damn Warriors jersey. Now I can see them going up because people, well, I mean, they are going to have them at the store tomorrow. For those of you local, if you want to get your commemorative 500 puck, the store will have them tomorrow. It's already been tweeted out. So yeah, I'm sure those will be at every store and every kiosk on the concourse tomorrow. I'm sorry, Saturday. But,
yeah, it'll be at the Shark store tomorrow. They open up at 11:05. Let me see if I can throw it up.
And Vince pointing out Burroughs camped out in front was full-blown coverage by Martin. It's, yeah.
That fourth line, though, I thought had a little bit of a breakdown, too.
Fourth line had a little bit of a breakdown, but the thing I was really blown away, everybody looked really good in the first period, but especially the bottom six. To me, the bottom six had a lot of jump tonight.
You know who has really looked good since the All-Star break? Well, even before the All-Star break, but he really looks outstanding is Melker Karlsson. He's doing work. It's like he's doing extra credit and hoping that he finishes school early, you know, and graduates summa cum laude or something. He really is working, and it shows.
Hold on, wait a minute. Is there somebody seriously in the chat saying they need to have a Sharks Giants mashup? Bro, where the fuck were you in December,
we
man?
Just
it was in December, brother, against Carolina. Rob, where the hell were you?
Rob, you missed it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Wait a minute, let me pull this back up. This is the puck that's going to be on sale tomorrow morning at the Shark store. Unfortunately, let me see if I can blow it up here.
Now watch how quickly Eric's going to tell you the three things that are totally wrong with this.
Well, number one, it's a older picture of Patty because you can see the front numbers are in existence. And of course, the front numbers don't match the font that they used there. So I'll just leave it at that. But that's nitpicking at its finest.
And the thing I also don't like about this is that it's essentially, it looks as if it's just a sticker adhered to a blank puck. It's like you knew this was
been going on lately.
I know,
Sherwood.
Yeah, but it's cheap. When you look that every game they have printed warm up pucks. I mean, like you knew this was coming. It's not like this. Well, it might happen this season. It might happen. No, you knew this was coming. To me, I think it would have been cooler to have this printed out. But that's just me. It should have been a printed puck, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, outside the official game pucks and the practice pucks that have that fancy finish to it, a lot of these have that matte finish now. I'm guessing for simplicity for overall. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
I got a quick question here. And it's super random, but it's sort of related to the game. So, face-offs.
Sucked.
Jamie Baker said, yeah, I know. Jamie Baker said something about the Vancouver Canucks have something like the fourth highest face-off percentage in the league.
Yep.
Yeah.
And suck.
So, I mean, really funny because we've discussed the importance of the face-off and, like, you know, you really need to get that puck in the key face-off matchups and so on and so forth. But if you look at the Vancouver Canucks, they're kind of the cautionary tale of, yeah, sure, go ahead and get all the pucks and win all the face-offs. Well, but the rest of your game sucks.
And in true typical NHL fashion, let me just throw out just some really kind of remedial math for the class. What is 64 plus 37?
Pick me.
I will go with the gentleman in the Marlowe jersey.
Would that be 101?
Yes, yeah. Yes, it would be. It would be 101. And, and for some reason, if you go to NHL.com and look at the stats, it shows the faceoff percentage, 64% Canucks, 37% Sharks. So apparently, faceoffs were done with 101% effort tonight.
That's right.
That's why they're the NHL, because they go that extra 1%.
That's right. 101%, 100% of the time.
Yep.
Okay. Absolutely. There was only one person that was at 50 or above, and that was Pavs. He was dead on at 50%. Jumbo at 44, Couture at 30, Carpi Deuces at 33.
I hate seeing those numbers though without being able to put them in context as to how many faceoffs they actually took, because you'll see that a couple times where it's like, oh my god, you know, hey, fucking Carpenter was like, you know, 80% tonight. And it's like, yeah, he took two faceoffs. Or, well, okay, obviously right. He wouldn't be at 80% with two faceoffs. Send your math questions somewhere else, Gen X, okay? I don't want to fucking hear it.
Chester Chivo in the chat, hashtag alternate stats.
Yeah, exactly, alternate stats. But either way, you see it where it's like Timo Meier, 100%, and then he took, you know, one faceoff. So.
Oh my gosh, a hockey jerk. The Sharks are so bad, they had to curve the stat to make it look better. Mike Nevis, 1% makes a huge impact. Yes.
Yeah. AJ, brought to you by SAP.
Fuck you, Chris. I knew that was coming. Knew it was coming.
Let's go beyond the numbers. Oh man. So I think overall, guys, they played that speed game that they played against Chicago. And maybe they turned it up a notch because it is the second half and things are about to get serious. But this team looks fresh. They look fast. They look determined. I mean, Rocket, I'll go with you on this. They look like serious, legitimate contenders compared to the hiccups that this team has had earlier in the year.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at they're up against a completely different set of opponents now. And they're going to look very differently against these teams than they did against the other teams. Against the other teams, they're legitimate contenders. Against these teams, they are superior. And so, yeah, it's kind of like if your kid's in a marching band with a bunch of other high school marching bands, they kind of all run together and there's more competition. But then if you have a junior high marching band that wants to march against, you know, a high school marching band, there's going to be a big, huge difference, man. It's just terrible. That's a terrible analogy, and I apologize. But they're just I don't want to be like, yeah, this team is amazing, and they're great, and they're focused, because you look at the Vancouver Canucks, and, you know, if you watched any of the 2014-2015 San Jose Sharks season, the Vancouver Canucks of this year should look really familiar. That's how bad the Canucks are this year. Sharks are really good this year. So, I mean, the thing that I'm taking away from this game is that the Sharks came into it with a game plan, and they had a game plan in all three periods. They did not once collapse and forget what they were doing and just try to play Vancouver's game. I really liked that. I like they took the lead in the dance, and they had enough confidence in their system and how they play with each other on the ice to make that system work. And it cashed in. And I really hope that they continue with the second half of the season to dominate on these lower scoring or lower ranked teams.
Dude, fucking hockey jerk. Jesus Christ.
What?
Dude, him in the chat, dude. Can I try to do like my best Danny Miller? He's like, tonight's Pucknology player profile presented by SAP is AJ Strong. AJ leads the Pucknology crew in beers consumed on air and also has the teeliest wall in San Jose. Tonight's Pucknology player profile presented by SAP.
And if you're sitting in section 104...
You didn't win either.
You sit in section 104, row 3, seat 2. You just won an autographed AJ Strong jersey. To which me and Gentry would yell from section 212, "They can afford it!"
Yeah. And then two girls with giant lime green foam hands come up to me and give me something.
Hey, real quick to put those the face-off percentages in context, Couture, 30%. Dude took 20 face-offs tonight, 6-1, 14 lost. Whereas Pavelski, 50%, 4-1, 4 loss. Thornton, 4-1, 5 loss. Tierney, 5-1, 6 loss. Ward, 1-1, and 4 loss. So.
Yeah. Hockey Jerk in the chat has a very good question. Hey, are we going to have Pucknology Wrong Choice presented by Geico again tonight?
No, because Geico doesn't sponsor us, so we can't say Geico.
Oh, fuck you. Who was it? It was,
no.
It was sponsored tonight's, by...
tonight's Wrong Choice brought to you by SAP, because everything is brought to you by SAP. Tonight's Wrong Choice is Puck Guy wearing a jersey backwards.
Yeah, I was wondering why.
Now, excuse me. Number one, this is the... Believe it or not, this is the only thing I have with Marlo on a shirt or a jersey. So I wanted to give him some love here. So just let me have my crisscross moment here, and I'll make you jump, and then we can go on from there.
Wrong Choice sponsored by Trojan.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like something for a dick trick.
Hey-o. That would have been.
Dude, I'm dying to know how Christina Marlowe answered the phone tonight.
Christina, if you're watching, because I did tweet at you, if you're watching, tell Patty congrats. I mean, my goodness, that he's been on a roll the last week and a half, and I know he's been excited about this, and so can you. So if you are watching, DM me at puckguy14. We would love to have you on.
From all of us here to everyone with you, we would like to say from the bottom of our hearts.
Borrow one of my wigs, Christine, and no one will know it's you.
Oh, jeez.
That's why I use a fake name.
Wait, your real name's not Rocket?
No.
What?
No, my real name is Epic, but Rocket's way more girly.
Oh, all right. So let's hear from you about hashtag Marlo 500. I'll pull up some special tweets from it.
Well, I'm tickled that we got this out of the way, because I hate it when stuff like this, when the team starts forcing it because they're trying to get a guy to, you know, hit the big pinnacle number, whatever he has going on. I'm very happy that they've gotten this out of the way. I've seen other teams get hung up on stuff like this. So good this got out of the way. And holy shit, is February one of the weakest schedules the Sharks have had in a long time, or what?
That's why I'm saying you need to take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah, you need to create some space in a big way right now, and especially if you look at March, because March is stacked. There's, what, 2, 4, 6...
16 games in 30 days.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the... you've got 4 back-to-backs, so goddamn, give Dell some time.
Yeah.
And, you know, bank some points, give Dell some starts, and let's get it going. Jesus. You know, this is the thing, though, that that kind of pisses me off with the schedule makers. It just pisses me off that you're in this tight race, and yet we're done with L.A. Are we done with Anaheim? We are, aren't we?
I thought we had one more game.
Oh, we do. We do. March 18th. Okay, but still, like, it just, the schedule makers kind of blew it on this one. They could have been cool if you would have had LA and Anaheim at the end, the way that they've stacked Vancouver and Edmonton and Calgary, but that would have been cool. But just bank those points, create some separation, And what was the, there was something else that I saw in here that I was, oh well. And take advantage of your bye week.
And there was a question in the chat in regards to a bye week on what they can do. I believe they cannot have a practice or anything in nope. those 5 days.
Nope. So it is a week off. You're going to see guys scatter.
Yeah, you'll see them scatter, and then I think they can come back to travel the day before because they travel back to Vancouver for that game on February 25th.
Viva Las Vegas.
I don't know. Those games right now against Edmonton are really stacking up to be big, big games.
They're going
to
be huge.
Okay. Come on.
Hey, that was Stop not it. Shorthouse.
I would have preferred that over, you know, the Orange Predator any day of the week.
Next week on To Catch a Predator. What did you have a seat over
Why don't
here?
You have a seat over here?
Did you guys fucking rehearse that or what?
It's team chemistry. Hockey jerk, I told you. I can't say it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, bud.
Yeah, I know. My bad. Some special tweets that signified the night that Patty had tonight from Christina Marlowe, of course, his wife. Words can't express how happy I am for this guy, his level of dedication for the sport, and the San Jose Sharks. You're one incredible man. And, of course, it's a picture of him.
I was going to say not for nothing, but I think I would have chosen a picture when he was legal.
Yeah, that's true. He wasn't legal at the time of this picture in June of 97.
Oh my God, really? He hasn't aged.
He turned 18 on September 15th, and he barely made it to be drafted that year. Otherwise, he would have been had the same issue that Austin Matthews dealt with and had to come into the league a year later. From NHLPA, they had a sweet graphic celebrating 500 goals for Patty. That one was pretty good. And then the NHL, nice graphic all around on his 500th goal. Definitely pretty good. Of course, you saw mine earlier. AJ threw it up earlier.
So close to be like, you know, NHL, that's a nice graphic, and I'm going to let you finish, but Eric Kura had the best graphic of all time.
Looks at you. Shucks, thank you. My little sister calls him Patty Carlos.
Patty Carlos. Hey, Feliz, Vince, blah, blah, blah.
Vince, he grew into those eyebrows. Hockey Jerk says, fun fact, Patty Marlowe is the youngest player to ever play in the NHL.
That's true.
Ian says, fun fact, Writer's Room is on Monday this week with special guest Kurt Price.
Whoa.
And 28 people watching right now go, who the fuck is Kurt Price?
Yeah, I know.
Kurt
hey,
Price from letsgoblues.com.
I know. I'm just screwing around.
No, yeah, he's our good friend. They're not going to talk at all about this whole Hitchcock thing, are they?
Oh,
I'm sure it won't, nightmare. Won't come up at all.
Hitchcock got das Boot.
He was the weakest link. One more graphic that I don't think I got to you, AJ, so I'll throw it on here really quick.
Dude, they threw the goalie coach out, too.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, like when you have Martin Just Brodeur.
Dump everybody.
You have Martin Brodeur in your organization, of course. For Marlowe, he was the 45th player in NHL history to score 500 goals, the 17th to score his first 500 with one team. Obviously, he's the first Sharks player to score 500 goals, not to be confused with being the second Sharks player to score his 500th goal. In teal, of course, JR had that ridiculous weird carom that beat Alex Auld in 07. He is the 10th player in NHL history to score all 500 goals with one team. He played in his 594th consecutive game tonight, and nobody else has played in more consecutive games and scored 500 goals than Patrick Marleau.
And on behalf of the Pucknologists, we say to you, here's your beer.
Hey, there's 39 people watching in the chat right now.
Yes. And with that, good evening to you all. Please make sure you subscribe. make sure you tell your friends. We are your interactive Sharks post-game show throughout the night. Back to you, AJ.
I don't know. Gen X is pointing out that he think he pissed off Randy Hahn, so that should be fun to see how that works out down the line.
What?
I don't know. You want to go around? I don't know. Let's go around the league real fast while one of you guys figure that out.
All right. You look that up, and we will go around the league on February 2nd. Speaking of the Blues, Mike Yeo made his debut as Blues head coach, and apparently that message was sent in a very good way. The Blues beat the Maple Leafs 5-1. Leafs are now struggling a little bit, and it doesn't help that the Flyers beat the Canadiens 3-1. In overtime tonight, the Rangers beat the Buffalo Sabres 2-1. See, I could get Jenner up and not Shorthouse. Ottawa 5, Tampa Bay 2 in the battle of the 1992 expansion teams. Nashville shut out Edmonton. That's a huge thing for the Sharks.
That helps.
That helps big time. 2-0 the score there. Let's see. Kari Lehtinen was in the nets for the Dallas Stars as the Winnipeg Jets beat the Lone Stars 4-3.
That's right. Kari's letting them in.
Hey-o. And in Glendale, the Chicago Blackhawks won.
Played who? Who'd they beat?
They beat the Desert Dogs.
Oh, why, thank you very much.
You're welcome. 4-3. yes. We love that. We love that joke, don't we? Don't we all?
It works well. Boy, it makes you wonder if that was like a statement from St. Louis that was just kind of like, we're so fucking happy Hitch is out of here.
Ding dong, Hitch is gone.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. They leapfrog back into a wild card spot with that win tonight. That they surpass Calgary, and as I'm trying to get the standings up here, if I can. Gotta love this.
Los Angeles is trying to get back into this. And it's going to make you a little nervous from time to time.
Yeah.
But at least the Sharks now have a 3-point lead on Anaheim with same amount of games played. And the best part, 4-point lead on Edmonton right now, 68-64. And Edmonton or the Sharks have a game in hand on them. So I'm loving that right now. But for the wild card, you have L.A. and St. Louis battling it out. 56 points for L.A., 55 for St. Louis, but Calgary holding on also with 55 points. Unfortunately, St. Louis and L.A. have 2 games in hand on Calgary. I don't understand what happened to Calgary this year, man. Although they did beat the crap out of Minnesota. So... Right. And they're on a 2-game win streak, so it is what it is, I guess. And LA on a 4-game win streak right now, so take advantage of February, boys.
This league has been a lot of streaking lately that's been fluctuating, and throwing with all the bye weeks that's going to be happening up until the end of the month, I mean, you're going to see the standings kind of go wonky a little bit. But yeah, the other thing too, AJ, is the 31 rows that the Sharks have. I mean, they have 5 more than Anaheim right now and 6 more than Edmonton. That's a huge thing that could come down to if they are close with Anaheim or Edmonton. But of course, we have 31 games left. We are in February, so I think we can now officially be okay with saying that if the season ended today...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
The Sharks would play LA in round 1.
Oh, see? And nobody wants to do that.
Yeah, I do.
It would be Sharks and Kings round 1, Anaheim, Edmonton, along with St. Louis and Minnesota, and then Chicago and Nashville in the West.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Actually,
I'm
so
all right with that.
I would go with LA in that first round. I think last year was a huge fucking statement. Yep. Not to mention that it's clearly been proven that the Sharks, if they play the right way, they can get quick to lose his motherfucking mind.
Yep.
and get under that skin. Plus, Kopitar has had a horrible time scoring this entire season. Eric, you're on mute, just in case you didn't know. So, I'm I'd be down with that. And I think Anaheim-Edmonton would be epic.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, Anaheim-Edmonton would be a great series, and it'd be a torturous series for that matter.
I think the Blues-Wild series would be really heavy. I think that one would be good.
Definitely. I think if the Blues can figure out their goaltending issues, they could possibly upset Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But Minnesota is just on too much of a roll right now.
I'm just really interested to see what happens with LA, like where they're at standings-wise, wild card, out of the playoff picture when Quick returns. That sort of, because if they're out of it, I'm thinking you probably shut Quick down. Budai, I think that, what did they say? There was a stat I saw earlier, I think it was yesterday, the day before. Fucking Peter Budai leads the league in, what was it, shutouts
this year? I think so.
Yeah, I mean, the dude is doing a serviceable job. L.A., I think, would be scarier if they could find, you know, their offense. They're kind of like the Sharks were for quite some time, where they just could not score a goal. But the difference being is that the Sharks could win a game 1-0, 2-1, whereas L.A. was going to lose those games. Mm-hmm. They almost had that deal that the Sharks had a couple years ago where it was pretty much a guaranteed loss if they couldn't score 3 goals in a game. You know, that was like the magic number.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Budai is tied with Braden Holtby in the league lead for shutouts with 6.
Thank you, Gen X.
He's top 10 in wins with 24. He's had a heck of a year.
That guy needs to get paid.
That guy's going to be a Golden Knight, I bet. And we'll probably keep Dustin Brown in L.A.
Really, Ian? You're going to go out like that, sniping hockey jerk? He leads the league in living by the sword and boo-dying by the sword. Get the fuck out of here with this shit.
Apparently, the camera's fixed on me. I don't know why. I apologize for offending your eyes.
My bad. Yeah. That's on me, boys. Good. That's on me, kids. I was all sharing good. Your screen to share off your logo and blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's fine. Here, then. Sorry.
To follow this guy, how do I still have San Jose National playoff fatigue? AKA, yeah. Let's put this series on CNBC too.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's the other thing. What, though? At least when it's playoffs, I do hate the fact, it does piss me off a little bit when there's one of those days where there's only 2 games being played during the playoffs. And of course, they start one at 6 and then the next one at 7. You know, it's like, really? You couldn't have figured out a way to start the other one at like maybe 5 and the other one at 7:30 or something? Precisely. I mean, come on. Yep. But whatever.
Yeah. For the whole measure here, if we were in the 1-versus-8 format, pretty much you have the same format. You would literally have the same matchups in the West. You would have...
Really?
Yeah, number 1, Minnesota against number 8, St. Louis. Number 2, San Jose against 7, L.A. Number 3, Chicago against 6, Nashville. And 4, Anaheim. 5, Edmonton. Which is kind of interesting because there is always that, well, what if?
What do you think about, I mean, now that we've had, like, what, damn near a decade of realignment? Well, no, it hasn't been that long.
No, 4 years.
It's been longer than 4 fucking years.
No, because it was 2013-14 that they realigned to put Winnipeg in the West and Detroit in the East.
Mm. Wait, what?
Yeah.
No, they did like the realignment thing back in like 08, 09, or no, like 11 or something.
No. Remember when Atlanta moved to Winnipeg, they were in the East for a couple of years.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Hey, we've got 43 live viewers at the Sun Technology After Dark right now, guys.
Well, for the love of God, do us a favor. Please hit the subscribe button, whether it's that way or that way or this way or that way or that way, whatever. Do us a favor. Help us out, man. Tell a friend.
Please, please.
So at this point, though, I mean, so after, okay, so 4 years of this, where do you stand right now on realignment, Puck Guy? Are you for or against?
I like it. I really like it. You bring in the playoff intensity for these divisional games. I mean, I know they've been pumping San Jose, LA forever since this realignment took place. Of course, they've pretty much played in every postseason that both teams have been in. Mind you, they missed the 14-15 playoffs, but it's good. I think it's really good. My concern, though, is, yeah, you win the division, but you're going to be traveling more, even though you're playing a weaker opponent. And I'm not too sold on that part.
Yeah. My, what? Thanks, Nick. For mine, I guess I'm coming around to realignment. At first, I liked it. This is why I liked it. When they did it, for me, the big benefit, it wasn't the playoffs. It was the fact that we didn't have to wait 3 or 4 years for the Toronto Maple Leafs to play here in the regular season. That was the big thing to me, is that they finally fixed the regular season, that everybody visits everybody else at least once. You're guaranteed 2 games against every other team in the league. That I was down with completely. I still think it needs tweaks here and there, but I don't know. I felt like we had developed a little bit of a rivalry with Dallas, Colorado, and it's just, you know, the only time we're going to see those teams now is if it's in the Western Conference Final, and even a little bit of history with St. Louis and Calgary. So, I mean, out of all those, just Calgary's the only one. So, I mean, you know, give it another 5-6 years where you see the same Pacific Division teams, and maybe you really will start to have that hatred like you see when the Giants play the Dodgers. But
I think it's already started.
Yeah, it has with LA, but I don't know. I think it's Chicago's too. Yeah, I'll give you that one. I just miss those series against Detroit, against Colorado. Those are some, and a couple against Dallas. Those are some really fun series to watch.
Do you guys think that there's a rivalry developing between us and Edmonton?
Slowly but surely. I think now that Edmonton is kind of back on track, absolutely.
Well, you throw in the former coach, and yeah, because they used to be, I mean, let's face it, it's been 10 years since they've been a team worth paying attention to.
And take the Sharks for that.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. It's ever since Torres need Mahalik, like from that point on, there really hasn't been anything until this season. And it's because they're finally becoming competitive. And of course, that's going to happen when you have that many fucking number one picks in the draft. Oi.
The key to the rivalry is Drew Remender, so Hockey Jerk says.
Of course.
I don't know. I think it's T-Mac.
Yeah, I would think it's T-Mac.
I think that's a little bit of it, but
Scooch.
Just a scooch. I don't know if that was that really played into the L.A. rivalry with Sutter, but go ahead.
Well, don't forget Sutter, but also Dean Lombardi's the general manager too.
Yeah.
Here's something that came up on TSN 1040 today, or no, I'm sorry, maybe it was Hockey Central at noon. Kevin Lacey, you can help me out if that's true or not. They are saying that, you know, Edmonton can start negotiating with Connor McDavid on July 1st. How much do you give the kid? Because, or does he just go out and say, fuck it, and I'll go to restricted free agency? And knowing how good this kid is, would you be willing to give up 5 first-round picks to sign Connor McDavid? Because that would be the compensation for being a restricted free agent that you would take from.
I mean, if you're this is the thing, though, you have to take into consideration. If you're a team that is generally competitive, where your number one pick in the first round is going to be 23rd, 24, 25, then I would seriously consider it. if you're a shitty team that is constantly draft, you know, is going to be projected to draft in the top five for the next 5 years, then I'm not so sure. Yeah, but if I'm Edmonton, you're backing up the Brinks truck for this kid. You're going to give him a deal that's going to make Burns blush.
Well, I think here's the thing, and let me be clear on this. Edmonton can sign him starting July 1st because they have that year, that 1 year early window to re-sign him. Everybody else has to wait till July 1st, 2018, when he's officially a restricted free agent. My thinking is, picture having McDavid and John Tavares. I mean, albeit Tavares would be a UFA, but picture both of them on the market. How intriguing is that?
Oilers can negotiate with him on July 1st of this year, but he can't. Nobody can offer sheet McDavid until the 17-18 season.
Right.
No, they're going to negotiate. So the Oilers have a year exclusivity. No, they're gonna back up a Brings truck. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets, 10.5 for 8 years. I mean, they're gonna, you know, you got to bank on this kid. You look at how many top picks just either haven't panned out or they've ended up dealing away, yeah. You know, because it just wasn't working out. And how many forwards have they taken? They've taken so many forwards, and their defense just really hasn't been shit. And, you know, and obviously the problems in goal that they've had up until this year. I think you build the team around him, but you're going to obviously still address your defense, which every team has to do.
If you guys talking contracts, keep it up and you'll summon Ian onto the show.
That's true.
Say it three times, right? Contract. Ian Reed.
He said he was going to go to bed.
Yeah, he said he was going to go to
bullshit.
Bed.
Bullshit! Uh-huh. We've said contract. He just fucking, like, popped out of his hole like a prairie dog. Somebody say contract?
God damn it, that's it. Somebody give me the fucking link.
Connor McDavid, by the way, only makes $925,000 for the next
seasons. Pay that kid. Give him all the money. Give him, like, the entire province in Canada. Just pay him.
Pay that man his money.
And for the sake of Gen X, he gets paid the same amount of money as Drake Caguglia.
Pay that man his money. Yes. Put the money in his hand. All of your money in the pockets, and then your friend's money too. Pay him.
If the Sharks tanked in 2015 to take out a chance at McDavid. They did. They just didn't tank too hard.
They couldn't even do that right.
Yeah, that's true.
They tanked for Timo.
Contract talk is to Ian. What did somebody say Vancouver is to Buckeye?
Kajula.
Sorry, my bad. Kajula.
What if the Sharks tanked in 2015?
Yeah, so
no, they would have fucked that up too.
Yeah, no, of course. Is Ian coming on, or should we move along and?
Oh, look at that! Everybody, keep quiet. Dad's here.
So much for falling asleep, Ian.
I was reading. I'm trying to figure that. I'm trying to, because Kevin brought up an
interesting. He was reading Connor McDavid's contract.
Right. No, I'm trying to, just because I feel like I've never seen anyone get offer sheeted off their ELC. So I'm just curious if that's even a possibility.
Richard Davalos in the bed, or excuse me, Richard Davalos in the chat. Go to bed, Ian. No, he says, go to bed, Ian. Rob Amon. Ian finally woke up. Matthew, Daddy's here.
Ian hashtag woke.
NHL offers. Oh, Laurel might have something on here. I don't know if it's on
the right. Chat. Hold on. You know what? Yeah, let's just send the link to
sheets after ELC.
Hold on. Why don't we just send the link to I'm going to give you all a moment. I'm going to give you all a moment to get your popcorn, and I'm going to send the link to Kevin Lacey, and then we're going to watch Ian and Lacey duke it out to the death.
No, he's right. He has to be a Group 2 RFA.
Okay. Oh, are you trying to say Lacey put you in your place, Canadian?
No, I never said that. I said I was looking for the answer because I was pretty sure that he was right, but I wanted to be sure before I came on here and was like, yeah, Lacey's right. You guys shut the fuck up.
Oh, okay. All right, Lacey.
Hashtag respect the turtleneck.
Yeah, put the laptop down, Lacey. Put the turtleneck back away. You're fine. You're okay.
Change it.
But you still give him all the money.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You build the you build the franchise around that fucking guy.
All of it.
So don't trade Couture, Pavelski, and 3 first round picks to Edmonton.
I will cut you.
Who's the rookie that has like done the most for you this season? Puck guy?
Shoot, one of the ones in Toronto, either Austin Matthews, but hey, Mitch Marner has been right up there too.
So I've really enjoyed watching Line A play this year.
Line's been great too. I mean, he had the setback with the concussion, but Line's been great. Marner's been a tiny bit of a surprise. We all knew that Austin Matthews was going to be pretty good, but wow.
Yeah, a little bit. But Line A, yeah, that's, I mean, I'll forgive him his Nazi poster boy look, but, good on him, oh, man.
Wow. Because he picked that. Like, when he was being formed and stuff, he was like, right. please just make me look like that.
We're talking Austin Matthews?
No, Line A.
Well, Line A. Oh, I was going to say.
Matthews. Oh, that poor
Sorry, kid. I was going to say, Saramone native Austin Matthews. Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. You know, when I say Nazi poster boy, that lovingly is referring to the that guy who does the in-game entertainment for the Sharks. I don't know his name.
Oh, he didn't ask Johnny Root. He didn't ask to look like that either.
He didn't. Geez. He didn't.
Yeah.
But he pulls it off. He pulls it off really well.
Wow.
He has fancy sneakers. Oh, I really do actually like his tennis shoes.
I never noticed those.
He's got good sneakers,
yeah.
There you go. He's got a good shoe game.
All right.
He's got a shoe game. And you know what? He got a great picture with a friend of the show, Nick Neftepitz, because Nick pulled down that Jonas Donskoy jersey.
Yeah.
So, hey now.
Okay. Which one would you want to host in game? Kaylee, Brooke, or John?
Me.
Can I root for the Flood?
Wow.
I'm sorry, I'm just not. I get what they're trying to do, and at a certain level with the CUDA, it works trying to have an MC, if you will, or a hype man try to get the crowd going.
120 of them.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you don't need that for a Sharks game. You just don't. There was zero problem with Danny Miller doing it remotely from the from the penalty box. He could see up to the platform where the tank patrol is next to him. He was able to call. I mean, he did that job magnificently for 20 years. Why they felt the need to add a MC or a host or whatever is beyond me for Sharks games. But then again, we're talking about a team that also thought, hey, let's put form-fitting outfits on the girls who scoop ice and give them little hair things that make their hair look, like Peg Bundy on fucking Married with Children.
Meanwhile, Tampa Bay's entire ice crew is in jumpsuits and wearing hockey helmets.
Right? Well, and that was the whole thing. The Sharks, up until a couple of years ago, before we had an ice team, it used to be the same thing. They were men, women, didn't matter. They all were just in straight up black jumpsuits, went out there, did the gig, came back. Now you've got, Peg Bundy's all over the place going up and down the ice in the flying V.
Just trying to keep people employed, man. You know what Barracuda games are compared to Shark games?
And you know what? If you want to do that during the Barracuda games, I'm more than happy to support it, but I just...
They don't do that because they've got, I think, 3 people, maybe 4 tops for the ice crew in the Barracuda games versus...
No, I meant for Johnny Root and all those guys. Like, they got to, there's so...
There's always room for another blue coat or somebody who needs to serve at Iguanas. He can easily do that gig.
Not even AJ. They really need help in sales. So if you want to be a ticket rep,
there you go. I don't think I was going to say, I hear, I've been contacted by like five different. Yeah, I've been contacted by like five different people.
See? So yeah, like what one person
I personally
said.
Want. I want to crack at it.
You know what it is? Rep? No, at being what Johnny Root does or Kaylee or whatever their names
the
are.
In-game host.
Yeah. And she would do a fucking banner job because Rocket, the only time Rocket screams is like when somebody does something stupid on the ice and she's like totally into the game and her legs start flailing and like that's when, but if Rocket is being paid to do the gig, she'll be more than fine doing it. She'll kick all their asses because she's got the voice for it and she's not going to scream at people.
No. Wait. Legs flail during hockey?
Oh, yes, dude.
When it gets really tense, when there's a rush and something goes wrong last minute, or they just, you know, it goes wide or something, or somebody does something bad. Like, I convulse.
Oh, my God. We all need to get together for a playoff game. Just between AJ's Rocket and Gentry would be crazy.
AJ has been expressing this on the show several times.
We just need to find a day that we all get together for a game. Like, you, me, Gentry, Rocket, and...
Dude, I'm telling you, like in a week, fucking breakfast for the Philly game, dude.
Hey, if I'm off, I'm game. We'll all go to your place then.
Or the Arizona game the following week. That starts at 5.
That's true. That's true. All right. With that, I think we should wrap up unless Kevin
Let's look forward. Arizona.
Yes.
At home.
The Desert Dogs.
Hey now.
Drink.
I mean,
I'm with you.
I mean, I another game that the Sharks should win. The nervousness, like Rocket said earlier, they've been doing a lot better against opponents below themselves. I think we've always had that concern about, you know, them playing down to their opponents' levels, and they've been playing good. I would hate for them to keep this good run. Be destroyed by Desert Dogs. What are you laughing at?
Chester Chivo just is like somebody was something about the show going off the rails, and Chivo kind of making this comment where it's like rails where we're going, we don't need rails.
Tuesday is a guaranteed loss.
Hey,
I am not going to be upset about the outcome of that game either way. I've already resigned myself to it.
I think Arizona, that we gotta do that easy. That's gotta. You know what I'm interested in? I'm interested to see if Dell gets a start for Arizona. I mean, he might. You never know. I'd like to. You know, the other day, a lot of people thought, no, they're not going to start Dell against, who was it? Was it Winnipeg or whoever the fuck it was?
Yeah.
Whatever his last start was. Was it Tampa?
Was it Tampa?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Tampa. And I was even talking about the night before, and I'm like, he could go against Tampa. Everybody was talking just like Ian. And then, boom, Dell went. So you never know. You don't know what the fuck DeBoer is going to do unless a timeout is involved. So calm the fuck down.
Chris kind of hit it on the head. We probably don't see him until March.
I think you got to give me at least one game. So, yeah. But that could be a good game. Hey, do you think that somebody like misplaces a couple guys and like Doan ends up staying here, but Bakker gets thrown on the plane back to Arizona?
Oh.
No, wow. Just me? Okay.
Wow.
I can't see it. I can't see that happening.
Will say Bakker has looked better now that he's on a consistent line with Couture and Marlowe. Mm-hmm. I've liked that. And clearly it's working out for Marlowe.
Obviously. Nick Neftepitz saying, where is it now? Crap, no, I just lost it.
They've been in Arizona, I think, twice so far this year.
Nick Neftepitz, could you imagine Rocket using her raspy, dirty technology after a dark voice when the lights are out before the shark head comes out?
Go ahead, do it.
No, that's Danny's job.
Oh, holy Jesus.
Sorry.
And with that, final thoughts, we'll start with the angry Canadian robot.
Hold on, I want to hear Rocket. I want to hear Rocket do, like, you know... And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to stand and remove your caps for the national anthem.
Oh, no, no. We need to hear her say, here are yours, San Jose.
No, fuck that. That's Danny Miller's job, and I refuse to even pretend.
Okay, okay. This is what I want to hear. And it's like, you know, and now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Please rise. Hold on. That's not what I want you to do. This is what's going to happen. This would be outstanding. So remove your caps and join so-and-so to sing our national anthem. And then, hey, man, you suck. And immediately Rocket gets on there with a, yeah, they do.
Okay, if that was my entire job, if that's all it is, you suck. Yeah, they do. That would be. Woof. I would be so happy just doing that.
Canada. Oh wow. Well. All right. Final thoughts, Mr. Reed.
So yeah, as I said in the chat, and I said a few times, the writers' room this week, because of Super Bowl Sunday, we are going to move it to Monday so that someone actually watches, and other than my mother. So it'll be Monday night, same time. We're going to have Kurt Price from letsgoblues.com on, and he is going to talk with us about the Florida Panthers, because no one wants to talk about Hitchcock, right? Right?
Psst. Fuck that guy.
Happy retirement.
Happy retirement, again, Hitchcock. I don't think he's done. But yeah, so we're going to do that, and it's going to be awesome.
That'd be interesting if he went to Vegas.
Chris saying that Ian's moving it to Monday so he doesn't ruin the Super Bowl ratings.
It's true. I mean, I don't really, you know, I don't want to screw up the Super Bowl ratings. I mean, look, I understand that this is a time-honored American pastime, and, you know, it'd be really rude of me as a Canadian to ruin that for you guys. And I think that my country wouldn't get invaded the next day. Or at least I'd get a nasty tweet from the POTUS.
Especially since you guys are going to show the American commercials. I can't believe that.
Oh, man, I know. So, yeah, I don't want to get invaded. I don't want a tweet storm in the morning from Trump being like, why did you kill this great American pastime? You
fucking Ian, ruined the ratings level. For this Super Bowl. Sad.
Let's see how great his ratings were if he were to put that on Sunday.
Oh, fuck. Who sent this dickhead the fucking link?
Oh, God.
Yeah, so check out the writer's room on Monday. Other than that, yay, Patty. Yeah, that's good. I'm just going to be good
tonight. All right. Wrap it up, man. Wrap it up.
Rocket Backhander, your final thoughts?
Hi, my name is Rocket Backhander. My final thoughts are, holy shit, do we really only have 30 games left this season?
That's right.
Yep.
Wow. Man, this is going to be good. We've got a lot of interesting systems coming up to face and prepare for. Coaching has their hands full. Players have some time off. Everybody's going to get into shenanigans.
Mr. Strong.
Hola. AJ underscore Strong on Twitter and Instagram. Follow at Pucknologist. There will be a new show next week. This week was our bye, but we're going to have an early show next week and a special show with a special guest at the end of next week. Hashtag clickbait, but you're going to dig it. And let's just see if I'm still welcome in SAP Arena after that show airs.
Yeah, no kidding. But with that, make sure you subscribe either down below or to the side. Hit up pucknology.net now that it's back up and running. Make sure you hit up all our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, Pucknology Writers Room on YouTube. And in case you missed any of the show tonight, this will be uploaded. You can check it out on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, MySpace, all that. Oh my God.
I'm Kevin Lacey, 22. Have a great night, folks.
Did somebody say Vancouver?
There, since I don't have a bottom third, I had to make my own.
We've lost our minds. But once again, as we head out, congratulations to Patrick Marleau on his fifth. 500th goal. Yeah, easy for me to say, Eric. Way to go. Patty, 19 years. Great job. We're so happy for you. Let's see if I can pull up the radio call. Nope, he doesn't have it up. All right. Oh, well. Darn you, Roosie. Until Saturday night against the Desert Dogs, keep it real. Keep it fresh. Keep it real tight and fresh. Good night. Oh, and don't forget. Don't forget War sponsored by Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/PAD for your free 30-day trial where you can search up to 180,000 audiobooks and get to keep one yourself, even if you continue using the service or not. Visit audibletrial.com/PAD and don't forget to subscribe.
Or else.
Or else. Or else somebody else will be talking like John Shorthouse.
Go ahead. You can do the sign off in the Shorthouse voice. I approve.
There you go.
You're allowing me to do this?
Yes. Do your real fresh in Shorthouse and get me the hell out of here.
You know, as soon as the Sharks meet the Vancouver Canucks 4-1, for everybody here at thepucktology.net, we say goodnight. Keep it real. Keep it tight. Keep it real tight on the Canucks Radio Network.